Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation by Pastor Mark Copeland is entitled New Wineskins. Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut.
Now for our Old Testament lesson, we turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. We'll be reading verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. For our epistle lesson, we turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll reflect on verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now we turn to our gospel reading, the text for the sermon. It's found in Luke chapter 5, verses 36 to 39. It's the parable of the new wineskins. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better, is the word of the Lord. I titled the sermon, obviously, New Wineskins. It seems pretty fitting. It's a new year. We're going down a new path. This is sort of a new adventure. When we've talked to, we're leaving Iowa and saying that they're praying for our new adventure. We're going down a new road. And it seems fitting that with a new year, 2021, that we go down something new. People make new year. We got new resolutions, new seasons. People seem to be happy that 2020 is over, as if the calendar had anything to do with, you know, the problems that we face. But yeah, right. It's good to be hopeful when there seems to be a new direction or something new is happening or God is moving, right? But I've learned a few lessons coming out, at least with 2020. Like the first one that I really reflected on is that people are terrible about predicting the future. We really are. I recall, you know, there's 2020 vision. 2020 is going to be our new year. And nobody had any idea that it would turn out the way it was. Like we had this terrible pandemic. We had a lot of political infighting. A lot of places are still, you know, meeting on Zoom, obviously. The economy isn't open back up. Like nobody would have predicted that. And that's why, I mean, I just think, just a couple of examples. When I taught history, right, and was teaching through government, my students always would ask me, who do you think is going to win this election or that election? And in the first couple of years, I predicted, and I was wrong. So, and then it hit me in an NCAA basketball tournament where the Kansas Jayhawks were like number one in the nation, and they were supposed to win everything. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pick Kansas to win it all. And I'm going to do my March Madness bracket. It's a big thing if you're into basketball where you pick which college goes all the way. And I picked the Kansas Jayhawks, and the University of Northern Iowa knocked them out in the first round. The last ranked team knocked out the first ranked team. And I completely got that wrong. My bracket was ruined. So I tell people now, I've stopped predicting the future. I don't want to predict the future anymore. But isn't that why? Because we're so bad at predicting the future, that's why the old is so very comfortable, right? People by nature, it seems, they don't like to take the risk to follow that new path, right? Because the old is comfortable. That's what we know, right? We know the old. That's why Jesus in that verse 39, you know, he talks about the people who like the old don't even want to try the new. Like, if you're into the old wine, you don't want the new wine because that's what you're comfortable with. And I can understand that. I get that, right? But when God is moving, because this is what Jesus was talking about, this is like Jesus is on earth, like he's on earth to institute the new covenant, which we know is better than the old covenant. And what that really impacted were the religious leaders of the time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they're comfortable. They're comfortable with their power structure. Like, if you're a Pharisee, people are coming to you for spiritual advice. Like, you're the know-it-all. I used to tell, and we got to think of yeah, like, I mean, they're comfortable, especially the Sadducees. Think about that. Forgiveness for sins, they own that whole temple complex. You got to go through the Sadducees to get your sins forgiven. And now this guy shows up, and you know what? He didn't show up to the religious leaders. He didn't manifest inside the Holy of Holies. He was born in a manger, and then he reached the populace. He went after the fishermen, the tax collectors, your carpenters, just your everyday workers. If God is going to show up and do something new, obviously he's going to go through the religious leaders, right? He's not going to go to the fishermen. That's what the old wineskins folks were thinking. If God's doing something new, he's going to talk to Caiaphas. He's not talking to Peter, right? And that's the system that they're comfortable with. Even though in God's plan, when we have the whole Bible now and we look at it, the new is better than the old. I mean, we're going to embark on the Lord's Supper, which has real meaning, right? It's better than the old, but they're stuck in that rut just because they're comfortable with it. They don't want to lose their source of power, their influence. I mean, the interpreters of the Old Testament, the Bible scholars of the time were the Pharisees, which is why I give the Pharisees a little bit more mercy and grace than I would, let's say, the Sadducees, even though, you know, who knows what I would have been at the time. But I used to tell my students, like, yeah, I'm a Pharisee. I went to college for it. I study scripture. I like to debate theology. That's what Pharisees do, right? But then what you really reflect on as sort of like this theologian is, what type of Pharisee do you want to be? Do you want to be the one holding out for just this old system? This is just how we always used to do it. If you sin, you bring a sin offering. Or are you open to say, like, oh man, the Messiah showed up. God's moving in a new direction. I don't want to miss that boat, right? I often ask people, if Jesus showed up today, would we recognize him, right? So You know, we always, and always, that always for me, that how that reminding that just keeps me humble, right? You want to keep yourself humble because you could be wrong, right? I'm pretty sure I've got most of it, you know, thought about, but when you reflect on it, if Jesus shows up, I don't want to miss him, right? So, and that's where that old covenant, the old covenant folks were. The religious leaders of Jesus' time, they missed the boat because God did not, I want to say, confer with them how it should be done, right? If only God would have held a meeting and asked Caiaphas and Nicodemus how he should have brought about the Messiah, right? But he didn't. He didn't consult them. He went after the sinners, the people on the outside, the people in need of grace and mercy. But I also want to reflect, because in New Testament studies, we also think about that. Just because it's new doesn't necessarily mean that it's good or better. And that's what brings us to 1 John. John the Apostle, when he wrote, he was really dealing with a group of folks that believed that they were getting like special messages from like God directly in their private sort of corner or closet. And they were saying stuff that was disagreeing with the apostles, you know, the people that Jesus walked with and taught with. And one of the biggest thing that they were teaching was that Jesus wasn't really, he didn't really come in the flesh. He was really just a spirit. It only seemed like he was a person. And so John addresses that quite a bit. And that's what he means, where he says, first they have to say that Jesus came in the flesh. That's incarnation stuff, right? That God took on the physical nature of humanity. Right. And this is actually, it's really important when it comes to the atonement, right? Gnostics, or what they were called was proto-Gnostics or whatever. They're essentially saying that you're saved by knowledge, not by the ministry of Jesus, and that Jesus was really just a spirit. Okay. So you have to test the stuff. You have to test the new direction. You have to discern and trust, right? So what the apostles did in their time of this new movement of God was they discerned the spirits. When they made the argument that Jesus was the coming Messiah, that he was the Son of God, and that he was here to forgive the sins of humanity, they brought it to the Old Testament. They said, these are the prophecies. This is what Jeremiah is talking about. That's why we read Jeremiah chapter 31. This is the new covenant. There's no room between Paul and Jeremiah, or John and Jeremiah, right? It's the same message, which is going back to that parable, the parable about the wineskins, it's still wine, right? The essence of it is the same. It's the same spirit, the same mission. It's just refreshed, rebooted, made better, right? So it's still wine. He didn't say that it's now ale or Diet Dr. Pepper. I would have preferred it that if it was now the new covenant was Diet Dr. Pepper, but he didn't consult with me. He said it's still going to be wine. It's still the same mission. It's the same same spirit. God doesn't change. And so when we discern the new direction, what path, we're trying to figure it out together, what God has called us to do, we go to Scripture. We look at the continuity of Scripture, how the New Testament is a continuation of the Old Testament, even though there is also a break or a discontinuity, because the new is better than the old, right? So you have to base it. So in New Testament studies, I was going to bring out, when you go for a PhD, right, you're supposed to come up with like new research. You have to come up with like a novel idea and then present the research, like this new idea is good. But in Old Testament studies, typically it's like You want to go after the older idea, right? So you're pulling from scripture. You're pulling from that first generation Palestinian Israel, where they were. That's what you're pulling from, right? So, and that's going to bring me to the third point of when we start to reflect on what we're doing with the Lord's Supper. We start to take it. And the overall new direction that God is having us take in this new year, right? What makes the new covenant better than the old covenant, right? Well, we'll get to the atonement part when we reflect on the Lord's Supper. But first, God is creating a new community, right? It's a new community of redeemed people that instead of looking at the codified law to say, you missed this, this, and this, like, oh, you were breaking grain on the Sabbath. Now you have to go and sacrifice, you know, the dove. It's a community of redeemed people that we're reconciled with God. So we have this right standing with God. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. But now we're charged with our calling is that we bear one another's burdens and we figure this out together. I think what we can learn from discerning the new path and trusting the Lord is that when we do it together. We do it in this new community. Whereas what Jeremiah was saying, this new covenant, God is writing his law on our hearts. So not that it's a duty or a chore to love one another so that we will want to love the Lord with all our heart, our mind and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what he does together. We do this together. When we meet together, we reflect on his word. We pray. We care for one another. He's writing the word on our heart. And it's not a, we got this figured out, you know, us versus them sort of thing. I don't think it's like that at all. I think it's like Jesus has this figured out. Let's reflect on his teaching. And then we bring people along with us because we're here essentially to be compassionate with one another, to bear one another's burdens. And I do want to shift to thinking of the Lord's Supper as we go into that. That main reason why the new is better than the old, this new direction that God was going when he got rid of the temple system, because you read Israel's history, it really wasn't going well at all. So he comes down, it's almost like he's just going to do it himself, and he provides a once for all atonement that makes us right in right relationship with God. There is a great separation between humanity. Sin separated humanity and God. And now that Jesus and his suffering on the cross and then his resurrection reconciled the two, humanity and God, so that we can be in fellowship with them. And then we can learn to care for his creation and to care for one another, right? So it's not like he did away with the law, because he didn't. He's writing it on our hearts. He's making us new from the inside out. So we're always going to have those external struggles. But the peace that we get as we reflect on the communion we're going to take is that Jesus paid for it all once and for all. We don't have to do anything else. We're just trusting Jesus, trusting God, and we're going where he takes us. I once compared it to, like, I have a wagon. And I'm hitching my wagon to Jesus. He's pulling it, and I'm just going wherever he goes. Right? But ultimately, we do it together, and we are a community with a fresh mission. Okay? We're a community where we reach out to each other, and we reach out to all of humanity, because it's not just for us. It's for the whole world. So with those reflections, practical application, right? With the new wineskins, we know that God is doing something new, that he's going in a new direction, that we have a fresh mission. It's the same mission, but it's a fresh mission. He's renewing our spirits. And our job, our calling, of course, is to be obedient and faithful, but we just need to listen and be patient. And we discern that with one another, right? So if you ever find somebody, and I found plenty of those people that they just show up, they have all the answers, they know everything. They're probably off just by a little bit. It's okay. I used to be one of those people in my younger years. Like, I think all of us are when we're like teenagers. I got a couple of those. Teenagers know everything. I'm just kidding.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation by Pastor Mark Copeland was entitled New Wineskins. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.